live and can admit to seeing at least 33% of all the goalie goals in MLS history.
You've probably seen a bit more than that, haven't you, Mark? Come on. You've got at least 66%.
Exactly. Guys, I don't remember what I did yesterday. It's the Vocal Minority Podcast.
Raise your voice.
Oh, but you remember last Wednesday? That was later than yesterday.
Kristen can prove I was there. That's how I know.
Okay. That's true. I have pictures. I have photographic proof.
She does. It's true. There is photos of me existing at that game.
It's true. Mm.
And at least one chat where somebody who said, "Yo, are you at the game?" And I took a picture of them celebrating at the end. Unless hackers are super clever and put that photo inside my fucking WhatsApp.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I mean,
goddamn fucking AI.
Oh,
geez, yeah. There's started. Yeah, exactly.
How much water was wasted on that bit? Honestly.
Oh my god.
Anyway,
hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Vocal Minority Podcast, the podcast that does indeed occasionally go to a soccer match. Happens
when allowed.
When time allows. On this week's show, we do look back at a wild night at BMO Field, and then a less exciting one soon after. We talk about the season kickoff for NSL with the final rematch between Toronto and Vancouver. Catch up on the goings-ons in the CanPL, including Supra's first win. Woohoo! Congratulations, Supra. And then we're going to talk about the Vancouver Whitecaps, which I know doesn't seem like a thing that we normally do in great detail, but there's a chance they won't be the Vancouver Whitecaps for very long, so we should talk about that. And then we're going to look ahead to some matches for this weekend, including Toronto taking on the MLS League leaders, who are having really fantastic season. Almost unbeatable. It's amazing. So excited. Good luck, everyone. but a more exciting thing happening at BMO Field this weekend is AFC Toronto's BMO Field's season opening match versus Halifax. So that will be fun. And much more. All right. Now to this week's panel. Having watched so much soccer this week, he's exhausted. Please say hello to Duncan Fletcher.
So much.
Like, so much.
So much. Craziness.
I know. Oof. So proud of you.
Yeah.
Having trekked all the way down to the Torontos on a breezy Wednesday night, please welcome Mark Hinckley.
Intrepid.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm. Sorry, you were indeed intrepid. It's true.
I felt intrepid. yeah. It was lovely to go out to the football and see people and hang and get an unexpected holy fuck moment.
Because holy fuck.
So good.
Yeah. As for me, same. Like, I'm so glad that was the soccer match that I got to go to for the next couple months, because I can't go to any others right now. But I got to go to that one. Mm. So I am your delighted host, Kristen Knowles. Now to our show. All right, we are going to kick things off with indeed that match. Wednesday night. Oh God, a week. Mark, a week ago.
Stop it.
We were at BMO Field enjoying beautiful weather, a light show, because apparently they do that now. Fun fact, they also do it at the Blue Jays. I took a video because I was like, what the fuck? Where am I? I thought I was at a basketball game because it's bad enough at the NBA games. No.
Isn't there a light show?
Yes.
Not like like random daytime fireworks.
They turned the lights down. I don't even know how they did it at BMO Field. They did it at the Dome. There's like strobe lighting and coordinated music shit. I don't know. And this is at both. But anyways, at BMO Field, when it happened, I was like, wait, what's happening? Someone got a new lighting board and some toys, and they're having way too much fun. But the signatures on the goals, that's kind of nice. It's the new thing at BMO Field. I was just like, what are all these new things that are happening? I'm so confused.
Full marks to the art team for that one. That's spectacular.
Yep.
What's go on then? What do you mean by that?
So go ahead, Mark.
Okay. So Duncan, imagine if you will, after a player scores a goal, a Toronto one specifically, because that would be a lot of videos of autographs for a whole bunch of fucking teams in this league.
Yes.
When a player scores the goal, when they're announcing, you know, goal scored by number blah, 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 they put their pose on the screen, I'm a badass. Sure.
Yep.
And then their autograph kind of like follows like a pen line of writing out their autograph, which is nice. It's a nice touch, something different.
Yeah. It was unexpected.
But also to think that they had one for Luca.
Yeah.
Which as soon as it scored, I immediately went like laser focus on the screen. Like there's no fucking way they have one for Luka Gavrin. And then his face came up and then the signature happened. I'm like, holy fuck. They did the entire team.
Just in case.
There'd been two whole ass goalie goals in the entire history of this league. And just in case, Luka, sign your name on this fucking tablet for me, please.
Yep. I need to record your digital signature just for a thing. Nothing, we probably won't have to use it, but just in case.
That actually was kind of like, it made my night because it meant that everybody did it, and knowing that everybody did it made me so happy.
Yes. Anyway, so we're at this delightful, it's a beautiful night. There's lots of people were there. I think the beautiful weather certainly helped. Nice to be amongst friends, nice to be at BMO. And it didn't start well for Toronto at all. But that's okay. Because
that's how they do it.
That's how they do. Exactly. This is their thing. They're like, oh, it's fine. We'll just dig deep in the second half. And we'll come back.
Whatever. Ooh, 2-0 lead. Have you not heard the cliche, you stupid bastards? What do you think's going to happen now? Fuck us.
Okay, for the record, Mary turned to me at 2-0 and said, there's plenty of game left. Because she knows. She knows what this fucking team is capable of. Because she's watched me watch the highlight packs and even like watching the game over again. She's like, did they pull this out? I'm like, yeah, like she knows. So without an ounce of irony, she said that to me. I'm like, you're right. Cause
the keen footballing analytical mind that is your lovely wife.
Yeah. She is such
a coward. She knows her shit.
She should be doing a podcast.
100%. She should be joining us.
Role of new Tony still available, guys.
Yeah. Mary can be the new Tony.
Tony can be the old Mary. So whatever.
Yeah.
That's right. In your face, Tony. You don't even listen this far.
Also, the second Philly goal was a ricochet attempted clearance thing.
That was fantastic. That was.
Yes, I knew you would love that one.
Delightfully, like, bit of like nonsense chaos. It's like, all right, well. This game is going to be worth me watching.
Because I did have to find the replay to be like, what the fuck just happened there? I don't even understand it myself.
And the Philly player just kind of like went on and did that celebration as if, look at me, as if that was all deliberate.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
What the fuck, guy? Come on. That should be just a sort of just giggling like down your own shirt in semi-embarrassment kind of celebration.
Yes, that is when you do the quiet celebration. Like, I mean, yay, I scored, I guess. However, as we've already stated and noticed time and again in TFC's season so far, all was not lost. Nay. Josh Sargent got a nice goal. got one back. That was delightful. A little bit of a nice passing. But it was the second goal for Toronto FC that really...
Before we get to the second goal then, that Josh Sargent goal, I mean, yeah, he did good things. Very nice shot at the end of it. Great. But
the work to get to the goal, yes.
No, I was more concentrated on the Philly defender. The one, because kind of he went between two of them. The one that was kind of like on the inside of him, just kind of like basically kind of like stood there and just watched him. And just like, you got past me. Am I going to try and run back and maybe tackle or maybe just try and block something? You got past me. Let's see what happens. It's like, wow.
Yeah, just I've like, got the best view in the whole house.
The laziest fucking bit of defending I have seen in a long time. It was.
Yeah, it wasn't good. Hmm.
That just very noticeably stood out. It was like, terrible.
But it was the second goal for TFC. Again, the second and third goal. Sorry, Josh. It's nice to see you scoring. That's what they pay you the money for. And what you sat out part of your season. That's fine. You know, all these good things. But can we talk about Kobe fucking Franklin with his second goal in the space of a week?
You mean world class winger
striker
Kobe Franklin?
But also, and again, because he was involved in I think all of the goals, certainly the first two goals, Cifuentes, who had a great game for Toronto FC. He was their best player on the day. I know there are other players who are getting all of the attention, and yes, they deserve it. And Kobe Franklin is one of them. But Jose Cifuentes had a very good game. He did a lot of very nice things, including sending in the ball that allowed Kobe Franklin to score his second goal of the season. Bonkers. It was bonkers. It did one of those ricochet things. It went in off one post and then passed, went behind Andre Blake, and then Blake didn't know what was going on. I don't think we even knew really what was going on. It was just chaos. It was like, it was so fun. Everyone's celebrating. We're so happy. Yay. Okay, good. And then fucking late, but of course, off a set piece, but of course, fucking Bedoya. Philly went
disallowed goal before that, though.
The disallowed goal. I forgot about that. Yeah. I've already wiped it from memory.
Yeah, it was definitely offside, no matter what.
Oh yeah,
what people on Twitter are trying to tell you.
No. It was
Malik Henry was offside, and yes, he was interfering with play.
But we like Malik Henry.
Sure. I might potentially not understand the offside rule anymore. That's definitely a possibility. But if anyone shouldn't say that he wasn't actually interfering with play, then fuck off. Game's gone. Had been decided he wasn't interfering with play.
So then Philly go up 89th minute. And there was a bunch of time added. It was like 6 or 7 minutes added for stoppage time. And I did hear somebody nearby, or I saw something online being like, why there was hardly any things. So I was like, again, Cifuentes. I'm like, Jose Cifuentes was injured, ? Anyway, he got fouled. He sat down and was like, I just need a moment. Like, there was a couple different stoppages. His was one of them. There was certainly at least one from the Philly side. Anyway, doesn't matter, because we got to witness one of the things that all football fans wish to see in any match that they attend. And you know what? And so it doesn't matter which side it comes from. You want it to be from your team. Like that's the big one. That's the great one. And to tie it up, we got to see a goalie goal. Yes, we did, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. It was glorious. So last gasp of the match, TFC are trying everything to get this last goal, to tie it up. And then it's a set piece. There's one thing left. Here comes Luca Gavrin. And we're like, yes, keeper in the book. Yeah, let's do this. First play doesn't work. And they recycle the ball. The ball, TFC still has the ball. So Luka goes forward, you know, he hasn't gone back, but he gets close, you know, he gets in with the mix again. And Alonso Cuejo sends the ball in. Keeper goal! Scenes, pandemonium, madness, delight, joy. Oh my goodness.
Pulled the neck muscle. It was amazing.
It was so good. Like, if somehow Philadelphia had paid one back, like, I would have wept. I would have wept, because no match after that should not either go to the home team that is, you know, all that close to winning, or just, you know, everyone share the points. Just good job, everybody. Everyone had a good time. We made some friends along the way, you know, like, that's all that matters here. It was fucking delightful. Incredible. It was so good. But what I love seeing was, you know, out of the 7 million interviews with Luka Gavrin, a lot of which is just the same interview replayed, but because, you know, he's a tall guy. So at one point in time in his life, he was a 9, right? Like, that's what he played before he started playing keeper, or had played both, probably. I've seen that happen too. But he said something, he was talking to somebody, and he was like, yeah, so I just recycled my run. And the guy, whoever was interviewing, was like, oh, wow, you're talking like a striker now. And he's like, well, I was one, you know, like, that's what I did. But obviously this is stuff they practice. And just, anyway, there's nothing like getting to see a goalie goal. Certainly in person, it is just such a joy. First goalkeeper in Toronto FC club history to score. First goalkeeper in MLS to score in MLS play since October 2010, which also happened to BMO Field, but against Toronto. Will Esmer for Hesmer, right? That's his name?
Willie.
Yeah.
For Columbus, back in the days when Toronto could not beat Columbus to save their lives. Last match of the season. And yes. And then the first one, who was the first one again?
Yeah, no idea.
I don't remember now. I had it up on my phone and then I closed that tab. Oh, here we go. Danny Sapero. Danny Sapero of the Energy Drinks, October 18th, 2008, also versus Columbus. It's fascinating. So two of them have involved Columbus and two of them have involved Toronto. Interesting.
Andre Blake, it's your time.
Yeah.
Complete the cycle.
Yeah, please. Like, I feel like we need this circle closed. That's so interesting.
Becomes a very good pub quiz.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Name the four teams in the in the daisy chain of goalie goals.
Gotta say as well, a good, like, solid knee slide from
Gavin. Right?
You look like you've done that before. That was,
I know. Well, and I think, I feel like he talked about that too. I feel like he said he, like, practiced the knee slide or something. That's just one of those things that he's practiced for, just in case kind of deal. And I was like, I mean, why not? Why not practice your knee slide?
Yeah,
right?
I mean, you know, if you're potentially saving a penalty to win a penalty shootout, to win a trophy, your knee slide as a goalie, why not?
Exactly.
So, yeah, I've got practice. I think that he said as well, he was
like, get his shirt off.
Thinking of taking his shirt off. I'm not going to be able to get this over my gloves.
I got these gloves on my hand.
I just wish he'd tried, because that would have,
I know, that would have been so funny.
But I can't get the shirt off. Guys, can everybody help?
I mean, do you still get a yellow card if you know, your shirt's still hanging on basically by your hands?
Technically on your body.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, that feels like that could be a way around that rule. And then, like, his little leap in the air when he was going back to his net. I was like, aw, you're so happy. Oh, it was great. It was great. That was bonkers match. What a way to finish it off. Extended TFC's unbeaten run. Again, delightful evening. Everyone off into the ether. You know, fairly happy because I got to see that. So huzzah.
And I would also like, you know, everyone who's listening to go back to the podcast that we recorded after the second game of the season against Vancouver. And just listen to the live from that sort of Mark did after that second game, because it's some prophetic shit.
I already said at the top of the show, I don't remember what he did yesterday.
Live, that's and right. If everything goes to plan, setting ourselves up some 3-3 bangers in our future.
Yeah.
And here they are.
That's right. Here we are again. Yeah, that's true.
Where have I been with this vision? And how much money have I left on the table by not gambling?
Yes.
I've got $1 of Canadian currency that I can use. Shit. Anyway, yes.
Anyway.
I forgot all about that.
And then instead, so then we turn our attention to the weekend. Rainy Saturday, hosting the AU guys for real this time. And that did not go according to plan. It did not, in fact. They stopped.
I mean, it did, but not fully.
Not the complete, exactly. Yeah, that's what I mean. It did go according to...
Yeah, we're going to go down to 2-0 down. Okay, now we'll start.
All right, now's our time to shine. Yep. Yeah. If Malik almost. That slight the keeper got that toe. So Toronto lost on Saturday to Atlanta. And they once again went down 2-0. And really, this shit has to stop. The first goal, especially, actually, they're both nice goals, but that free kick, that was an annoyingly nice goal. I protest having such a nice goal from Togashi. Oh no, that one was ruled out. No, so it was the second one. Sorry. Mirenchuk. Oh, right. Yes, this guy. Mm. Right. I remember us talking about this person. Grumble. And then yeah, Fafapiko somehow managed to get involved in a goal later on. Annoying. But Kobe Franklin did not score for TFC in this match, but did send in the cross that Emilio Aristizabal headed beautifully. Mm. That was a delightful header. I was like, that's from distance and with power. Like that was a good goal. And then yes, Malik Henry had beautiful chance. But just like the keeper just got a toe on it and deflected it, that it hit the post and not on the good side of the post. It, you know, it went the other direction, and that seemed to be all the magic that they had, you know, all the ability that they had left at the end of the match in order to try to pull that one back. I didn't see any of that game, but Duncan, you said you had it at least on for Osmosis. Any thoughts?
I just had the regular first half that it's always been. It was there. That was nothing special. And then, yeah, the whole comeback didn't really happen this time. And it was all in all just a bit meh, really. And, you know, the overall impression you get really is they're a little bit more of a fun, chaotic, fun team to watch this year, but it's like, yeah, you're still not really a good team, are you? And it's perhaps harsh after they just, you know, gone 6 or 7 games, whatever it was, unbeaten. But it's okay, yeah. It's this was coming, really. And I think they look like a fun to watch, and they'll be mid-table, sort of in and around the playoff places, so that's a step up, but it's just like, okay, there's still a long way to go here, isn't there?
Well, you know, rebuilds don't happen overnight.
Indeed.
Well, I was going to say nobody else got hurt except for, well, he didn't get hurt in that match, but Matheus Pereira is out for like 3 months.
Ah, you know, yes.
Yeah, good, I was good, like, good, good more job. Defenders. Yep, amazing.
Good job with the pre-signing physical there, guys.
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah, that was well done. Good job. Yeah, yeah, excellent scouting. Excellent.
Yeah.
Was Seba involved in that one? What's happening here? Yeah, it just, I think the commentary that I got from like my my dad and my stepmom was, yeah, sort of similar to what you said. They just, they looked a little disjointed. Just, yeah, a bit, yeah, more than a bit meh in this particular instance. So unfortunate that the unbeaten streak has come to an end. And even more unfortunate given the next two teams that they are playing to end the homestand. This was sort of, it wasn't a guaranteed win, but this was a game they should have won.
Yeah, I mean, I do feel as well there's been like a lot of the games we played so recently, it's been like, oh, this team's out of just shit. Or, oh, this team's doing shit this year. So yeah. I feel like it has been a sort of...
It was a kind home schedule. Yeah.
Yeah, a newborn puppy soft schedule so far.
Yeah, exactly. And they have not taken enough advantage of that. And that feels a lot like TFC of old, where it's like, hey, this team's terrible. You should be destroying them. Why aren't you? You know? So maybe that gives hope for the next two matches. It really doesn't. I expect things to be horrifying, at least this weekend. I really do. We'll talk about it at the bottom of the show, but maybe the Miami match is different. That's always a weird fucking match. But against San Jose on Saturday, anyway. Let's move on for now to other things, and let's turn our attention to the CanPL. And as I mentioned, the Supra du Quebec won their first match. Woohoo! Good job, Supra. They got their home win. Looked like, you know, like it was a solid game. They came back, you know, it was a comeback win against Halifax, first ever home win. Good, nice big crowd, at the horrible football stadium, throwball stadium, whatever, however you want to describe it, the place with all the terrible lines. Next weekend or this weekend, they are at least, they are having their second home opener at, they'll be playing at Stade Boreal, because don't forget, Super gets all the home openers this year. The Tour de Quebec, continues. Now they'll be in Laval for a while at, Stade Boreal, playing against the Pony Boys. And, but congratulations. Anyways, it's good to see them win. It's good to see, again, good crowds coming out to support them. Just whatever. I want all the good things for FC Supra this season. I really do. And I think it's important for all the reasons. But they are currently, I don't say they're comfortably in third, except for that they kind of are, because, you know, we can't have a balanced schedule in a league with eight teams. Who wants that? So both they and York Six only have three matches to everyone else's four thus far. So in striking distance of second place are the team from Quebec. Currently in first, however, it's Mark Hinckley's Hamilton Forge.
God, I almost thought you were going to say FC Dallas.
Absolutely. Yeah, not.
I'm like, absolutely. What the
no, no, I'm trying to, I'm trying to, I'm trying to, I'm trying to reclaim it for you, Mark. I wouldn't do that to you.
I know, but it's still like triggered, you know.
I'm so sorry. That was not my intent. I apologize. I won't do it again. I won't do it again.
Just the setup.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Well, Duncan, we'll think about that one. Okay.
Yeah.
So Hamilton is in first place, but I do, again, it's fine. They scored the lone goal in this match, but it took them a good long time against, and again, a team that I support and like, a shitty team, who held on for a very long time, although I quibble with who wrote this article, Alexandre, who called the Pacific attack high flying.
Ooh.
I would like him to take that back.
I would like him to define flying, because honestly...
High, maybe. That could be their problem. Yeah. I don't know. Too much BC Bud, perhaps.
Well-grounded Pacific attack.
A calm Pacific attack, yes.
The slashed tires of a prolific attack. You know what I mean?
I'm just like, come on now. Like, I say this as a fan. They had three shots, none on target in that match. Where are you flying? What are you flying? I'm worried for you. You can't call them high flying based on personnel if the statistics do not bear that statement out. Come on now. Let's be realistic here. I'm just, yeah, no. Although they do have 5 goals on the season, but they did not. They've also conceded 8. The defense does not exist. Hamilton still...
Five goals is in how many games? 2, 3?
4.
Okay, but it would have been 3 before this game.
All right. True.
High flying, 5 goals from 3 games. By their standards.
All right. Alexandre? I still quibble, but I will give you some grace on this. Duncan is correct. Hamilton's still the only team in CAMPL to have not had a goal scored against them. But
boring.
Yeah.
They have only scored 4 goals.
Also, sorry.
Yeah. So Hamilton games are averaging 1 goal per game combined.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, they're mind-blowing entertainment. Let me tell you, Duncan.
Are we still doing the bit where we're like over exaggerating how good things are, you know, the high flying Pacific attack, like the exciting Hamilton.
No, what I think, but I it is important to mention that Hamilton are winning games on defense and not on what should be a high-flying attack, quite frankly. Hamilton has a lot of firepower. They have some of the top players in the league who are known to score goals, and it's their defense that is doing it for them right now. So that's really interesting, actually. But they, all right, they are top of the league currently. Supra and York 6 just hanging out in the middle right now. Seagulls languishing at the bottom. Poor Seagulls. Calgary, York. Go ahead.
No, just the table. And if you just switch Ottawa and Supra, it'd be exactly what you think it is.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a surprise there, but...
Ottawa has had a bit of a rough start to the season. And they were having a bad time against the Seagulls. And this was one of the other things. It was like, oh, you know, I sort of root for the Seagulls just because they've been so shit, right? And I don't like it when teams are just mired in badness. I like to see, you know, I like to see a little comeback story. That's nice, especially in this tiny league. And Ottawa needed to go all the way to the 97th minute to get a goal, to get a point back against the Seagulls. And again, if you're fighting that hard to get a point against the Seagulls, man, what is wrong with your team right now? And congratulations to the Seagulls for pushing them to that and forcing them to that point, right? Like, so I think it's like the table right now. And again, it's only whatever, 3-4 games in the season for everybody. You've got Pacific and the Seagulls, you know, they're both just terrible starts this season. They each have a point. They've each had a singular draw. Ottawa, shockingly, only with 4 points right now. Halifax with 5. Halifax mid-table. That's kind of that's generally their sweet spot. York 6 and Supra, just up there. You know, York 6 has 5 points as well, but slightly better record. And, you know, fewer games, all those good things. And yeah, Hamilton and Calgary taking down the, you know, the top two spots. Again, not a surprise there. But I feel like there's certainly an opportunity. Like, I think Ottawa will wake up. What I thought was funny after the Ottawa match, with some stuff I saw online from very angry Ottawa fans. Oh, they are not happy with their team's performance based on last year. And then there was already questions about all the off-season changes, right? And now there's lots more questions with the less than shiny start to the season for the Atleti. So it'll be interesting to see over the next few weeks, kind of, you know, if like these really solid defensive efforts from the Seagulls turn into something. If someone can break through Hamilton's defense and just crack that, or if Hamilton figures out more than a goal a match kind of thing. It's so early in the season. You can't really call much, but it's interesting. It's interesting.
I think at this point it's got far enough that we just have to cheer for, all right, Hamilton to win every game by 1-0 here on in for the rest of the season. And
They already have at least one draw, so there was a 0-0 in there somewhere.
All right, so Nukes concede 0 goals, but never score more than one for the entire season. They've gone far enough with this bit that they should commit to it at this point.
I mean, they did, like, if anyone in this league is going to commit to something so absurd, it's Forge.
Yeah.
They're dumb enough to go for 1-0s and, you know, somebody scores a second and they're immediately substituted off. Like,
transferred.
They're gone at the end. They're transferred. Transferred to the opposition at the end of the game. There was I had a weird conspiracy theory that Bobby didn't want hat tricks. Because as soon as somebody was on a break, they'd get subbed. I'm like, what the fuck?
Don't you remember when Vanny used to do that?
Oh, Vanny used to do it too.
Dude, he used to just sub all the time, I swear. It was like, oh, you got your two. Off you come.
There's probably something in his contract that says if he scores three, he gets a bonus. Wouldn't be the first time.
I swear it happened to Seba. Happened to Michael Bradley at least once. Oh my God. It just seemed like it was like, oh no, wait, he's got two goals. Oh no. He's coming off now. Sorry, man. But I can remember more than once angry Seba, you know, like, the fuck, man. Not a hat trick.
Are you shitting me?
What the fuck are you doing?
You need points. Leave me
exactly,
on.
Exactly. Leave me on. Oh, so funny.
Victor Vasquez is still 3 years away from arriving. You need goals.
Oh, it's too hilarious. It's too hilarious. Sean Ray. I forgot that he played for Quebec. Player of the week for Campiel. Anyway, so again, it's still early, but I'm happy for Super for getting their first win. I really do want to see, I would love to see both BC-based teams turn shit around, because, it's just, you know, it's depressing to see the same teams at the bottom all the time. It just is. Okay, NSL time. As we mentioned at the top of the show, this was the kickoff weekend for the second season of the NSL. And the big opening match was the rematch of the final for last season between Toronto and Vancouver. Only this time it was out in Van. And things did not go Vancouver's way. No. Toronto came from behind after scoring first and then going down 2-1. And then they came back to win 3-2. Glorious, glorious victory for AFC Toronto. Esther Okoronkwo with the winning goal. Lovely goal. But you know what? There were some good goals in this game. I only saw the first two live, and then I had to go to bed because I was very tired. But everything looked good. Sarah Stratakakis had a very nice game. Reyes for Vancouver, who scored their opening goal. Nice game from what I saw. Quinn looked lively. Looked like there was a decent crowd out there, although I will say somebody was leading a chant that should never be allowed to lead chants. I'm so sorry. It was very off-putting to the ears. They were very tone deaf. It was very sad. The chant was fine. Nothing wrong with the chant. I remember what it was. It was just the quality. And again, I'm so proud that people put themselves out there.
You're just critiquing the sound of this person's voice.
I'm just criticizing their ability to carry a tune. Yes, it's true. I'm being very petty and mean. I know.
That's pretty common with North American soccer supporters, but you know what you mean.
That is very true, actually. Yes.
Yeah, it's like there's you are not mistaking anybody for a choir. Like just
no, that is true. But full marks for enthusiasm and
true. Not hating on
No. I feel that's Kristen my only quibble with the whole match.
Kristen also was quite the hating.
Yeah, it's true. That's also accurate.
Kristen hates everything. Don't you know this yet? Uh-huh. But again, I saw a little bit of the highlights. I watched some of this match. And it was great. It was a fun game. It was what you want to kick off. I think what you want, unless you're a Rise fan, you don't want to lose. But again, it was a lively match. There was certainly you can tell that the two teams are not friends. But it was good. I don't know if you guys watched the highlights or not. Also, can we talk about Nikayla Small again? We're always going to talk about Nikayla Small because I adore her. She's involved in everything and I love it. She's everywhere. It's delightful. She's so fun. Perfect captain for AFC Toronto.
I did see the highlight package. I feel like I was kind of, how can I put this? I was, because I knew how the goals went, I wasn't really focused on efforts as much as
the other stuff.
Like just how did this game end up this way, right?
Yeah.
Up 1-0, down 2-1, wins 3-2.
Fair.
Like what did that look like? So like if they're focusing on not goals or not like near chances, I was just like, okay, whatever, just get to the next one. So I can't speak to the perfection, the not perfection, but like the accolades you are bestowing upon the new captain. So but that being said, like what I did see was Esther doing Esther things, which is that's probably my favorite part of Toronto.
Always.
I still think she is so business that she is not fun. But that was because of interviews and I will never forget it. But yeah, like it looked like a great game. Like I think the only, if there was a downside to it, it was that the first batch of goals were scored pretty early. And then, I mean, yeah, there was a goal in the 40th, but you had to wait until like the second half for the drama to really kind of crescendo. But I imagine the last 20 minutes were fantastic because, you know, the lead had slipped out from their grasp, and now there's still a massive chunk of game to play for. Like it's not done. It's not like 3-2 and then they blew the whistle. No, 3-2. And then they played off fucking 20% of a match. So,
I know.
That was like, okay. And That was the other thing I was watching. Like, did it get close? Did it get squeaky bum time for 20 minutes for somebody? And good, excellent first game.
Yeah, I think like again, and I think a really good way to kick off the season. The reason, one of the reasons I said about Nikayla Small is partly because I was looking at the stats on the NSL website, which still forever and always needs a redo. But this was helpful. She currently leads the league in tackles. Again, it's only one match, but 9.
Okay.
I was like, yeah, go Nikayla. I love it. So fun.
2 foot everyone.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't think she got a card though. I think she managed to escape. Yeah. She's like, no. She's like, what cards? Me? Nah. Innocent me? Come on.
Impossible.
Don't be ridiculous. So that was again like a fun rematch. Nice way to kick off the opening to the season. And then really like the two matches on Saturday, I guess sort of like the really the match you should probably go back and watch. Like go back and watch all of them. You can always they're archived. You can watch them on the NSL, either on their website or you can watch them, I think, on NSL's YouTube. Anyway, there's lots of options to go back and rewatch matches. But last year's Sad Sack, Halifax Tides, coming out strong to start the season. Decisive victory, 3-1 over Ottawa. Like, just huzzah, yay, congratulations. They, I think the only thing was they were never not winning the match, right? So they went up 2-0. Ottawa got one back, and then they got a third a few minutes later. Like there was a period of like 6 minutes in which 3 goals were scored, right? Like,
yeah.
It was at the Wanderers ground, so you know the crowd was lively. Just again, so happy for Halifax just as a club to start like that, to just not have any of last year's stuff follow them at least into their first match, just to have a big victory, to score lots of goals, to not have to just to not look like shit, like to look good. Like they, you know, 3-1 over Ottawa. That's great. That's it. I'm just happy for them. I haven't had a chance to really to watch the highlights. I just looked at Fought Mob and then the feed on NSL's site, but it looked like a pretty good match overall. But I'm just, yeah, like I said, I am delighted for Halifax. Marcus.
Before we get to Marcus, I would like to quibble with your suggestion that Halifax was never not winning the game. Well, did they kick off 1-0 up?
Oh my days, you pedantic pest.
I mean, come on, we're professionals here, Kristen. Let's do it right.
Kristen, like you should.
I should just never speak as the host of the podcast. I should just not talk. But
you know that as a, that Duncan's here, and that statement begs for him to kick the door down like he's SWAT.
You can say they never trailed. Absolutely.
Oh, we're fine. They never trailed. I apologize.
They were never not winning.
Footy purists named Duncan D. Fletcher. Who knew what I meant, but does not care because I did not elucidate in an accurate manner.
Well, I mean, his version's a lot more entertaining, but I know what you mean. you are completely correct, Kristen. However,
I am not completely correct.
However, it's funny. And because it's entertaining,
you will support him. Yes, I know. I understand.
It's not like support. support. No, it is support.
Yes, it's full support. You live for Duncan to be like, actually. Actually, Christy.
I mean, when Duncan comes flying in,
we move on.
He does swashbuckle this pretty accurately.
Yeah, that's called, like you can hear the 11 plus years.
You can hear the orchestra. You can hear the orchestra's music swelling loudly. Duncan comes flying in.
I can hear the I'm in danger music behind me. Is what it's hear.
Like it's telegraphed, right? Just
ta-da. Well, actually, man is here.
Oh, I'm gonna get you a shirt.
Ooh, danger, Duncan.
Danger. The second D stands for danger.
Yes.
Oh, they never trailed in this match.
There you go.
And that's all you had to say. Yes. Well, they were the attacking side. 12 shots, 7 on target. Not that Ottawa didn't have their chances. 8 shots, 5 on target. Like, that's not bad, certainly for a ratio. But yeah, this was all Halifax, and good on them. Marcus, you had a thought.
No, nothing above and beyond. Just happy for Halifax. Happy that they are at some point in time have a winning record this season.
It's nice.
I mean that. You know, lovingly, because first season, 5 teams were doing well, and then Halifax, and it felt bad. I felt awful for them. Because it wasn't for lack of effort, you know, it just wasn't going, it just wasn't working. But for them to come out and pick a fight with Ottawa and look really good, like I just want four Halifax supporters. I want them to have silverware and hardware and medals and glory, because they are outstanding supporters, and yeah, that even means the Wanderers too. Like, I just want for them. So seeing the Tides in their delightful teals come out and put the boots to Ottawa that's a excellent opening salvo.
Well, do you want something even better?
Go on,
something
tell me
even
more.
Better.
Go
Speaking
on,
of putting the boots to a team, the third match of the week of the weekend, the final match of the opening weekend for NSL, saw the Roses visiting Calgary, and 2-0 victory for Montreal. Yeah, that's right.
I do recall watching the highlight pack of that and going, those are really big snowflakes.
Yeah. Well, that was the other thing. There were some weather issues as well.
Everyone
apparently,
else had
in
really
Calgary.
Nice weather, and then
and it was cold. Yeah. So, but Montreal, Elise Bennett scored both goals. So, congratulations, Elise, on defeating Calgary all by yourself. Yeah. It's obviously just all.
How hard is it?
Yeah, really. Clearly, like it's hard. Again, I didn't get a chance to watch the highlights, but it looked like a pretty even match, like possession wise. There's only a couple cards in the whole match, one for each side. So, depending on the scrappiness, they were keeping it low level scrap. A few more shots from Montreal, but Calgary's attempts were better. You know, 5 of 6 shots were on target, 6 of 10 for Montreal, but it doesn't matter because Montreal put 2 of them away. Mwahaha. Yeah. So Calgary, bottom of the basement, after the opening weekend. Halifax currently in first place.
Woo!
Hey!
I know!
Stop the league now.
Yeah. Look at me, Ma, top of the league. So yeah, we got opening weekend, Halifax, Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver, Ottawa, Calgary, and that is the current status of the NSL, and then lots more coming this weekend. The opening BMO field match for AFC Toronto, that should be exciting. That should be lots of fun. They're hosting Halifax. To clash. Goal scoring, the two teams with all the goals. Goal it's fest, so Duncan. You could have a goal fest on Saturday to watch, or sorry, Sunday.
Yeah, let's hope so.
There you go.
It's so early.
I know. I'm just excited that it was.
Just because you're disappointed at the amount of coverage on the NSL website doesn't mean you have to make it up in the podcast.
I can try. If I make it up, maybe they'll do better.
If you make it up, maybe they'll pay you by the word.
Well, that is the industry standard. It's how much they pay, how much per word they pay. Anyway, all right. So we had an exciting week in Canadian soccer. And now we are going to talk about slightly more depressing things in Canadian soccer. And again, I say this. So we're going to things that we're talking about. And basically we're talking about the Whitecaps, who the rumblings have turned to more verbal assertions that they're going to move. And as much as I do not like the Whitecaps, because I don't, I also don't want them to leave. I hate that shit.
Yeah.
I hate that there used to be. Go ahead.
Can I say, before we get into more kind of like serious. Talk about this. Can I just say, this is just another one of those things that makes me sad that Vancouver actually won a Voyageurs Cup. If it had been
just, you
never actually win it, and then the team just stumped,
and then it's just gone.
And you never actually did it at all.
Yeah,
that would have been funny and worse than losing the team. but that ship sailed a long time ago. So there's no positive to this anymore. But that would have been hilarious, but sadly not. But yes, carry on.
I'm here.
It's
So
for the lungs.
Yes. And it's like it's problematic for lots of, I think about losing the Expos for baseball, the Grizzlies for basketball. It's always been a little weird to have Canadian teams in an American league, but it's also been kind of cool, right? It's like okay, we have an in, we have a way, we have some representation, we have teams we can cheer for. We don't have to adopt an American city. And I understand when there's only teams in Toronto that it rankles when you live elsewhere in the country. I do get it. I understand.
Man, but the Blue Jays and the Raptors are Canada's teams.
Are Canada's team. Exactly.
Everyone else loves that.
Everyone else loves it so much. As much as I we are correct in making fun of them for leaning on all of the history of the 86ers, but there is a strong history of soccer in Vancouver. Anyway, all of this, other than chatter last year, financial issues and problems with the city, with the stadium, with BC Place, all these little things that were like little pick here, a little sort of jab there. Apparently last month, the MLS owners earlier this month to discuss moving the team to Las Vegas. Not to discuss what do we do. And of course it's fucking Vegas. That's annoying enough, but they had a special committee of MLS owners that met to discuss the situation. And they
have already had discussions with a group looking to bring the team to Las Vegas. Because,
no.
Oh, I know, I'm shocked too, right? This is my shock face. Can you feel it through the internet? I know. What? This is brand new information.
An entire league that's overvaluated and they've got owners ready to buy in. What?
And again, like this is the thing, you know, later on, you know, like the Caps released, you know, a statement about the article, and they're aware of it. And that over the past 16 months, we've had serious conversations with more than 100 parties. And to date, I actually, you know what, and that's probably overestimating, but I am willing to bet that they have been looking for local investors. Because again, why would you want to move if you, there's lots of reasons to keep the franchise in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. One of which is their success of late, again, which I hate as a football fan in terms of rivalries, but as someone who wants to keep soccer in Canada growing, it's a really annoying situation to be in. But it also looks weird. Like, how do you, what's your, other than their argument or their fight with the city/province over the stadium, why would you move a successful team? Why? Money, of course, because it's MLS, but it's easier to move a crappy team. Like, you're like, oh man, they just suck. No one cares about this anymore. They can't win anything. We can't even attract, you know, world champions or World Cup winners or Ballon d'Or. You know, like, who's gonna come play in Vancouver? So he won a Ballon d'Or, didn't he? Probably.
Muller? Yeah, maybe.
Probably. Sounds plausible.
It seems it's plausible at least, right? I'm sure I'll get fact checked.
And it's fine. Like, actually, a lot of his career is probably overlapped with Messi and Ronaldo. So
fair.
So you know,
I'm gonna look.
He probably at least got nominated for one.
That I feel fairly confident about. I do feel confident about that. Anyway, this isn't a good thing. I don't think this is good. I am frustrated by, well, I'm always frustrated by MLS. I feel bad for the fans, especially, well, no, any fan, but like we know people who have put as, you know, years of support into this team. And this is, you know, this is their team. This is what they do. And, I don't know. I don't have anything brilliant, not that I ever really do, but I'm not feeling particularly eloquent on this subject right now. Mostly because I'm just angry.
Yeah, I mean, I think right now I would think this is still just sort of public negotiation and just sort of bluff and throwing money out there to try and scare Vancouver or BC or Canadian governments into, you know, giving them a sweet deal on some kind of new stadium somewhere. And I think they were talking about doing it. It's like their version of exhibition place.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, at the PNE, yeah.
PNE, yes. So, yeah, my best guess would be, yeah, this is still public negotiation. I'm just trying to sort of squeeze the government for something. And, you know, I don't doubt that all the other MLS teams and Garber and whoever would, you know, happily be, oh yeah, we'll throw out our own little encouragements and this and this and just try and put the pressure on there. But yeah, I don't know. It may well end up being that's the case that they do have to go, because, you know, if the current owners decide that they want to cash in. And because, well, an MLS franchise is worth like $500 million now. So, you know, and who is really going to want to be paying $500 million for this? It's going to be a very fucking small amount of people that have the ability and the desire to actually do that. So, yeah, it's possible that this is going to happen. But, you know, I still think it's just publicly negotiating for a better deal right now, but we'll see.
Yeah, I feel like that's definitely part of the dance. I feel like they we want a new stadium. or we want better revenues. We want more control over the dome. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. What I like, on the one hand, I obviously understand looking for, you know, a better percentage or whatever, but I also kind of feel like even if they got it, would that really make the difference? If somebody's offering you, you know, $500 million for a franchise that I don't know if they paid a $500 million for, it's a pretty enticing deal. And that's a pretty quick turnaround for making a shit ton of money. And this is business. Like, this is not a...
Yeah, I mean, I think the expansion fee would have been like 20 or 30 million, was it, back at the time when they came along?
I can't remember if... one of them got it like for 30 and the other got it for 40. And I think it was Vancouver, Montreal, like in that order.
Yes.
But
Montreal had to pay more because they waited a year or two.
Yeah.
But yeah, that does say that's a big return in, like 15 years to...
Talk about valuation increase,
I could throw my money like that, huh?
No fucking kidding.
So, as much as we want sports to be cultural institutions, they're just money factories. At least in North America. I just want to make that clear.
Yeah.
Fucking North American thing. And though we want soccer to be something else, it's in North America, therefore it's a money printing machine. It's not a cultural thing.
No, and that's always been the downside to being in MLS, right? Again, I talk about representation for Canada, but it's also always the problem of being part of an American league. It's just true. And American listeners, if you don't like what I'm saying, you know I'm right.
Well, I mean, American listeners don't ever look at this through the lens of nothing or something other than American lens.
Yeah.
I remember having to explain to a friend of mine who was in Norway. This is a hockey conversation. Just give me a second. And they were talking about, he was mad because he was a Flames fan, and I forget whoever the Flames big
they run to Flames.
No, the Calgary Flames.
The Calgary Flames.
They basically.
How did they get to Calgary?
Their best player, I forget who it was at the time.
Joe McGinley.
No, it was before that.
Oh.
Before again.
Anyway, I keep forgetting you're a hockey fan.
He went to
Newendyke.
Pittsburgh. Might have been Newendyke. Anyway.
That was probably Newendyke, actually.
He was mad because, like, I can't believe he just left. Like, what a turncoat. And, like he was mad because best player was probably offered a lot of money. And I had to explain to him, like, look, at the time, the Canadian dollar was dog shit. And we have to pay our players, the NHL players, in American dollars. Yeah. So to offer somebody $10 million US, it costs us 13 Canadian. And also we tax higher up here than they do down there. So even if we give him $10 million US, he's probably keeping half of that. Whereas if he goes to the States and gets the same $10 million, he's keeping 7 or 8 of that. And he's like, he had no fucking idea. He just had no idea. So, like, this is when, like, the Canadian lens is a real thing. We're not just, you know, these outposts that are holding your teams until all of them can go to the States. No, Vancouver, Montreal, Toronto, we're fucking big. They are big. They are bigger than St. Louis. They're bigger than Cincinnati. That, Mike, it's not about you, okay? Just an example. Bigger than Charlotte. We're bigger than a lot of those second-tier, third-tier cities that have MLS sides. So Vancouver being threatened to, you know, pick up and leave, the costs are a lot different up here than they are down there. The taxation's a lot different up here than down there. And also, too, like, our government...
Well, and also they're raised to think taxes are... Anyway, it's a different... They look at money in government and how you make your money and get your money and have money taken away from you differently. And it's all rolled into it, and it's so frustrating.
We can't.
Sorry, I'll be quiet.
It's not as easy to hold your city, your state hostage for a new stadium, a new arena, a new facility, in Canada as you can do it in the States. And like, they're going to try and pull the shit, but I would be shocked if Vancouver and British Columbia find a way to cobble together a deal where here's a brand new stadium on the waterfront down the road, whatever the plan is, don't care. If they get what they get, then they're staying and they'll be there for another, you know, 10 to 20 years, unless economic collapse or the dollar takes a shit, whatever. The thing that I find the most hilarious about this is that the targeted move is to move them to Las Vegas. And this isn't me hating on Vancouver, same boat as my esteemed colleagues. I say fucking go for it. Here's why.
Let's hear it.
In the next 3 years, if all goes according to plan, the Las Vegas MLS team will be joined by a brand new baseball team and an NBA team, which already has a hockey team and an NFL team. I would love to see how much that franchise is worth in Las Vegas when nobody's going to the games. You can put an NFL team anywhere in the United States because they play so few games and people are willing to drive that you can get 60, 70, 80,000 no matter where the fuck you put it. That's true. That's a fact. But now add 10 more games to that home schedule. Becomes a little harder, but it's also soccer. And Las Vegas, though this amazing utopia of whatever, soccer's not going to attract the tourist. You know, the tourists are going to go to the baseball. They're going to go to the football. They're going to go to the basketball. The Canadians are going to go to the hockey. Who's going to soccer? Unless you guys are, unless they're going to move to Vegas and they're going to sign Neymar and Mbappe, no one's fucking going to those games.
Yeah, that's possible.
I mean, that's terrifyingly possible. But
like,
actually,
it's the market itself. Like, so basically, what I'm trying to say is,
but no, because they'll market sporting packages and bachelor weekends and bachelorette weekends because people go to Vegas for the week. I have friends who are like, we're going to Vegas for 3 days, which again, I don't understand. I've never understood it. I don't get it. This is how they'll market it. Come, but you know.
Personally,
you're going to go for dinner here. You're going to go to an MLS game. It'll be so much fun.
But the thing is with Vegas, everything is pitched as, you know, premier luxury top, right? MLS ain't any of those fucking things. They're not. They're just never. They never will be. They never are. And if you are going on a bachelor, we'll use the bachelor example. I'm sure the bachelorette parties would do it too, but let's go with bachelor. Hey, we can go see the A's play the Dodgers. We can go see the basketball team play the Lakers, or we can see the Vegas soccer team play St. Louis. Which one do you think your group is going to get excited for this special trip to Las Vegas? It ain't the soccer. So like I don't like, if there's a grander plan, prove me wrong, but I think Vegas is a dog shit option in light of what they're doing. Now, if they had said, we're going to go to Sacramento, we're going to go to Detroit, we're going to go to Cleveland, all these other, you know, back pocket communities that apparently want in on MLS, fine. That's way more plausible than fucking Las Vegas.
Back pocket communities. Okay. Fuck you, Detroit.
I guarantee you every league has that short list.
Oh,
like for hockey, amazing. It's Atlanta and Houston and to a lesser degree Indianapolis. Yeah. We're gonna threaten to move them to any one of those places because they're a big city and that's where we wanna be, and there's apparently an appetite for this thing. Sure. You know, baseball's got Montreal. Montreal wants in the league, and
the NHL keeps mentioning Quebec. They're never going to go there, but they keep mentioning it.
But that's true. The NHL's got a half a country that they can actually access, and there's like
Hamilton. Hartford
and Atlanta. Like there's basically what I'm saying is there's lists, and the idea is you have these lists so that you can play them off one another. Well, if you don't give me what I want, I'm going to move to San Diego. Yeah.
I'm going to take my ball and go home.
I'm going to move to Orlando. I'm going to move to wherever. Yeah, I'm going to take my ball and get the fuck out of here. And I can understand that for the major leagues, but just because you call it major league soccer doesn't mean it's major fucking league. And threatening to go to Vegas, it's like, good luck. Like, you're going to take this and you're going to do what with it in Vegas? Wait until Memphis becomes a viable place to move? Waiting for San Antonio to go, yeah, we'll take it. Wait for Phoenix to step up and get into MLS? Like, I don't know. Like, it has to be a parking spot. That can't be a final destination in Vegas, because I can't imagine a world where people who are traveling to Vegas want to go see major shit soccer. So, like, I do still feel that the threat is real. I do feel that them moving is more plausible than it looks. I also feel that Montreal, once they see what Vancouver gets for it, Saputo's probably going to be going, you know, I could be for sale. Like,
that would really help with Bologna in there in Italy.
He just came into $500 million for the Impact. Surely that can get them into UEFA Conference League, whatever the fuck the third tier cup it's called.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, I think that this, even with the whole, like, the fact that the league is actively conspiring to move them, to me, that's gross. That's gross. Yeah. That's gross if you're somebody in Vancouver with money and power, and you want to attempt to keep them here. Like, if I had more money than brains and was in Vancouver, I was thinking maybe I should buy it. Hearing that the league doesn't want me or my club to be in there, like, why would you go to a party that nobody wants you there for? Who gives, like, keep your shit, you know? I just find the whole thing is just, it's nauseating, because it's not, Vancouver isn't enough. And that's the thing that pisses me off the most. They needed Vancouver when they were trying to, in the throes of MLS 2.0. They needed Vancouver, they needed Seattle, they needed Portland, they needed Montreal. They needed them all, because you had these entire communities that gave a shit, wanted in, and would show up win or lose. But now that it's a money league, we don't need you. And for the record, Toronto has absolutely no fear of them leaving, because the amount of money they've pumped into renovating that fucking stadium 3 or 4 times, they're going to be a tenant. TFC is fine. It's the other two. So, I don't know. Like, I also feel that these billionaires, if they've got the money to buy this fucking thing, they have the money to buy the land and build their own fucking stadium. And I know that never happens, but God damn it. You want it so bad? Fucking do it yourself. Build it properly. I know you can get free stadiums, but why not get the better stadium instead of the free one? You pieces of shit. So, I'm sorry, Vancouver Whitecap fans. Please embrace CanPL when you get the chance.
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds is not coming to save you guys. Yeah,
Soccer Jesus Ryan is not fucking coming.
Like, if he was going to, he would have. Like, and it is, sure, you can be frustrated with him, and we should always be frustrated with people with a fuck ton of money who just do whatever they want with it, no matter what nationality they are, certainly. But again, remember, don't have heroes. Don't put actors on pedestals.
Yeah.
Even funny, apparently, like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because he's busy with Wrexham. And that's what he decided to do. And none of his investments are ever, from what I can tell, based in Canada. All of the stuff he invests in is overseas or American. It's not here. And
he's doing a Tim Hortons donut.
Oh God, that's right. Sorry, I forgot. Except for Tim Hortons, which, needed help.
I love that the delusion of the supporter thinks that he's just flush with $500 million. He spent $5 million US for his chunk of Wrexham. $5 million. You need to go 100 times more deep just to get the keys for the Whitecaps. He's not coming, guys. He's not coming.
And then presumably, is he going to be building a stadium?
Yeah. Like
honestly, money aside, if Ryan Reynolds decided to get involved as the face of the Whitecaps franchise, whatever, it would change things, and you know it would, because oh, MLS loves a celebrity. 100%. And they would be like, Ryan, oh, Ryan, let's talk. Sure.
Would they lower the price?
You know, like that would change things. As much as I dislike that and I hate it.
Oh, yeah.
But it would make a difference.
I mean,
but it still won't happen.
I mean, how many times has MLS fawned over itself for Will Ferrell?
Oh my God.
You know,
and, yeah.
McConaughey and Austin. And
Yeah. Drew Carey for a few minutes there in Seattle.
Oh God, that's right. I forgotten about that.
That seems
early
so,
days.
So minor league.
Oh, it was such innocent times back then. It feels charming, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel charming?
Uh-huh.
That was like, before he was the host of Price is Right, and he was just goofy.
Wasn't it at the tail end of his sitcom,
The Drew Carey Show? Yeah, I think so, right?
Yeah.
Or was he was he hosting Whose Line Is It Anyway at that point in time?
No, I think that had definitely been done by then.
But like,
I do think he was like he'd at least started on The Price is Right by the time they were in Toronto. By the time he came into MLS. It at least started there, but
okay,
yeah, again, a delightfully minor league celebrity.
I mean, whoever, celebrity or non celebrity, steps up to save this, sure, you'll at least be a hero for a week, and at most, you'll be a hero for as long as you own it.
Yeah,
but
does Vancouver have a particularly like famous old player? I you know, just Thomas Muller, but he's still actually playing. Who could be there? David Beckham. Peter Beardsley.
Peter Beardsley. Yes. He's got to be plucked. That man's wealthy.
Well, but like, honestly, can't Alfonso Davies talk to somebody?
Oh, there you go. Alfonso Davies.
That would be hilarious.
You know, like that's their franchise player.
I love the idea they sold him on and he made so much money he came back to buy it.
Like,
yeah.
Or surely he knows some people. Like,
yeah, like
can Bayern he talk to Harry Kane? How much money does Harry Kane have? A lot. All right, we'll see what happens in the coming weeks and such. But right now, it's a frustration, and that now like there's article after article and you know statement and this and that all being released left, right, and center. And anyway, we'll see what happens. Also still in Vancouver, and we're not going to really talk about this very much because it'll just make us all extra angry regardless. The FIFA Congress, held in Vancouver.
That's yesterday. Nice for Vancouver.
I know. Fancy.
How did they get him?
The FIFA Congress in Vancouver on Tuesday offered a clearer picture of the challenges facing world football's governing body less than 2 months before the World Cup.
No,
really? They're
FIFA.
Facing challenges? Oh, what? No. Oh,
poor
really?
FIFA.
Oh, are you guys what? Okay? What? Oh.
Can Canada as a country and, you know, America, Mexico as well, you know, get together and like, cough up a bunch of public money to help these guys out?
Yeah, I can't be. I can't give a shit. Who gives a fuck that a bunch of football bureaucrats sat around in a hotel in Vancouver?
I wish it was bureaucrats.
Yeah,
just a whole bunch of drunk guys just getting together and drinking beers. And all right, what are we gonna do? Yeah, fuck it, this that would be much better.
But I know it's part of the whole build up / mystique of the World Cup. That's, you know, it's part of the pony show, right? But like, fuck Infantino and fuck them all. Honestly, sorry, Mutt Vic, you're complicit too. Like, what the hell? What do I care so little for this World Cup, And I care even less about the suits that are propping this up. So, I hope somebody got hit with a dozen eggs or something. That would be good. Just pelted. Just psh, psh, psh.
Yeah.
Kristen, you there?
Oh, we lost Kristen?
Boys.
Okay. All right, we're done.
Woo. All right, nice.
Good job, Mark. Well done. See you next week.
Yeah, no, it's been great.
All right.
It's been great.
Excellent.
Hang on, she just messaged me. We just wrapped up the show. This one was good. This one was good.
I can't remember anything that was left on the rundown to talk about.
No.
Oh, TFC are playing on Saturday, presumably. Yeah, whatever. Oh, San Jose, oh, Bruce Arena, blah, 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 Bruce Arena. Ooh,
I can't even do the dog thing.
Yep, San Jose is probably going to win. Okay, and we're done.
Chris, who is the player to watch?
Bruce Arena?
Yeah, Bruce Arena, yes. Bruce Arena. All right, she's actually, because she's still trying and she's still forcing this on us because we're suckers, Duncan.
All right, yeah, let's go through the rundown. Let's actually finish this off before she gets back. All right, so TFC, they're playing against San Jose on Saturday.
Yeah.
And San Jose are actually good this year. Shit.
That is crazy.
I know.
They've been shit for so long.
I know. I mean, San Jose, they're like the grayest of gray mice. You know, no one has to care about them. Ooh. And I don't think I've noticed or thought about anything about them since the days of like Wondolowski and Lenhardt, and now all of a sudden here they are.
I do like me some San Jose's, but you're not wrong.
No,
they have not been passable since Wando retired. But
apparently Timo Werner is the new Chris Wondolowski.
That's frightening on a couple levels. They are 9-1-0. 9 wins, 1 loss.
Yeah.
And the 1 loss was at home. They have a goal differential of plus 19. That's fucking crazy.
That is quite nonsense, yes.
Weirdly, the only team that's got a better goal differential are the future Las Vegas Whitecaps at 20.
Yeah,
call back to previous segment. You're welcome,
everyone. Yeah, yeah.
We're professionals. Let's play to watch this son of a bitch.
Timo Werner, sure.
Timo Werner, it's Preston Judd. I was hoping it was like Paul Judd or something like that. Wouldn't be a good one.
That would have been better.
And whatever, Usaini Buada.
Yeah, I mean, I look through the names, and there's nothing that I'm recognizing at all. I Hacks, Ian Hacks.
It's gotta be.
That's what's his name's kid, isn't it?
Gotta be.
Oh, where was he born?
Derby.
That makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
Is that even plausible? Yeah, let's see. Wikipedia. What are you telling me, Wikipedia? Family. He is the son of John Harkes, who captained the U.S. national soccer team during the 1990s. Well, if that doesn't bring people through the turnstile, I don't know what does.
All right. There's a P. Marie. I'm going to click on his name to see what his first name is. I really hope it's Peter. Ah, it's Paul. That's disappointing. Paul. I was hoping for a sister Peter Marie from Oz, but sadly not. Paul Marie. Yeah.
I'm really a fan of deduplicated Gonzalez. So that this joke is really a site joke, and I will put the link to the roster on the show notes in case you want to check it out. For whatever fucking reason, the laziness that is MLSsoccer.com. They list first initial, last name for all the players. And with one appearance and 7 minutes, deduplicated Gonzalez is what it says on the fucking thing. This is disappointing because it's Jonathan. It's not even D. It doesn't even.
I know. Where did the D come from?
Not danger. That's you.
Yes.
So that's That's unfortunate because I was really wanted to keep going with the deduplicated thing. He's previously with Juarez in Mexico, so
Oh, okay.
he's got a bit of a pedigree. That's good for him.
Sure, yeah, okay.
But is there even Bolaroo sounds like a fucking bad guy in New Orleans, and this is the guy I'm watching.
It's a mascot
Oh,
for it's
fucking
a
mascot.
kangaroo that is the mascot for a bowling alley. Some kind of like little fucking bowling club has a mascot, Bolaroo.
Bolaroo just sounds mean as a parent to name your child this. It also seems cartoonish.
Yes.
He's a San Jose local, like, so that's crazy. The fact that he's not from like Lafayette, or like the middle of the swamp, in Louisiana. That is disappointing. Yeah, I'm gonna Bolaroo just because that is a fun name to say.
Indeed.
Player to watch,
Agreed. Yeah.
Bolaroo.
Okay. I'm going to abandon comedy, keep it real, and go with the Timo Werner name.
Sounds good. And we should pick something for Kristen because she would want to. Okay, here's another brilliant thing about
Ooh,
MLSsoccer.com.
E. Edwards Jr. What's E. Edwards Jr.'s first name?
Leafy Eddie? Oh,
Oh, disappointing.
so the other keeper at the bottom, D. D'Souza Brito.
Ooh, yes.
Click on his name, and he comes up as Daniel.
Daniel.
Fucking Daniel.
Daniel. It's like he's in Karate Kid.
Yeah. Welcome back, Kristen. If you've joined, your player to watch is the backup goalkeeper, Daniel.
Is his name just Daniel?
Well, if you click on his name on the sheet on the
Oh, is this the
roster,
one that has the thing with the
duplicated? No, sadly, that's a different guy.
Yes.
No,
No. Oh.
deduplicated Gonzalez is not, his first name isn't even D or
Aw.
duplicated. It's very
What? That's
very. Oh, it's
disappointing.
super. I mean, this is MLSsoccer.com, right? This is perfect.
Yeah,
His
indeed.
first name's not D? God damn it. All right, so who's
Yeah.
Daniel? Where am I looking?
If the keeper, there's three keepers. It's the one with the longest name.
Oh, hello.
And if you click on it, like D period D'Souza Brito is just Daniel.
It's just Daniel?
Yeah, he's your starter. He's got 10 appearances, so
He's the guy.
yeah, he's the guy, so
Just Daniel.
just fucking Daniel.
I
That's
love it. I love it. I hope that's what it says on his kit. I'm going to be disappointed if it doesn't.
but I want to bring your attention.
He's Brazilian. Okay.
I want to
That
bring
makes
your
more
attention to
sense.
Bolaro.
Bolaroo.
That's a fucking
Like
full
po
first and
like
last name.
Pokeroo?
Yes,
Yeah, kinda.
yes. Is that a mascot for a bowling alley? Is
First name
what we figured it out.
Bo, BEAU, LaRue.
All right, that is a hell of a
That's a
name.
spectacular fucking name. So he's my player to watch.
That's well done, parentals. That's
Yeah, bad parenting, but well done all the same.
hometown boy too, from
Yeah.
San Jose.
Not even
Wow.
from the swamp.
I know, that's why I was totally I was
Horrible
waiting for it to say Louisiana somewhere, you know?
Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge, baby.
We already did this, Kristen.
I
Yeah,
know, I know.
we've already
I'm just joining up. All right.
filled in. Yeah.
All right, so we
Anyways.
talked about the them not being
Yeah,
them winning all their matches on the road, all that
we've
stuff.
gone through the
That's
whole thing.
fabulous.
Predictions is all that's
All
left,
right.
Kristen.
All right. All right. 3-0 San Jose.
Jesus.
Yes.
Again, I call your attention to how many goals they've
Yeah,
conceded.
six is a very
It's
small
six
number.
goals.
And
Oh, they're
three seems
sorry.
like a standard for TFC to concede. So yeah,
Right?
okay, 3-0. Yeah, let's go with that.
Like they're yeah, they're I yeah, I just don't
I don't feel good about, again, I feel like this one is just going to be, it's just going to be pain and more pain.
I'm going to.
Mark, Sad Clarkson.
Oh, geez, do I want. Ruger. What do I want? Okay, so, no. I'm going to go for more towards a Duncan special.
Ooh.
A goal fest. I just think it's like San Jose wins this. I'm going to just go 4-2
San Jose. Yeah, yep.
4-2. Okay.
Part of me wanted 4-3, but
no. You know
I think when they're down 4-0, it's going to be asking too much.
That's hilarious. All right. So Campiel, I don't even put anything in the show notes because I was just like, this is who's playing when. So we've got York 6 hosting the Atleti on Friday night. And then Halifax, Hamilton on they're the kickoff match. Actually, they're the only match on Saturday, not the kickoff match. And that's at 2 p.m. And then with their second home opener of the season, the Supra at Stade Boreal on Sunday afternoon against Calgary. And then the BC the battle for BC against the two shit teams in the league. This should be a slugfest of dire proportions. On Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Presumably, I don't know if Pacific is paid for this match. I'm just going to go ahead and say they're going to be at Starlight, but who knows? It could be somewhere else. I don't know anymore. Sure. Let's see. The Halifax Hamilton match will be on CBC Gem, and the Battle for BC will be on TSN.
That's at Royal Athletic Park. It's in Victoria.
Oh, okay. All right.
What's that?
Where is it again? Like, I know it's in Victoria, but where did you say?
Royal Athletic Park.
Oh, that doesn't sound like Starlight Stadium.
No, it's the
other place.
Yeah, it's the other place. It's where they play baseball sometimes.
Ooh.
Interesting. So they didn't pay for this match. It's also where the
Vistas used to play way back.
Oh, there we go. A little bit of semi-relevant history. And then, of course, the Super Match is also on RDS. And they're all on OneSoccer/Fubo as well.
They're Super Match. But, the winner gets 4 points? That's crazy.
I know.
Yeah, I know. I do think I find it fascinating that the BC match is the one that gets the TSN broadcast, but was probably the only available slot, you know? I am curious, though, to see if it will just be a dire 0-0, just whatever. Do you know what I mean? I hope it's not.
And presumably both defenses are shit as well as the attack. So, yeah. But there's a chance for things to go wrong.
No, I think the Seagulls' defense is actually pretty good. That's the thing. They're just, they have no offense. So they're losing. Like I said, like Hamilton had to work to get that one goal against them late in the match. So I don't know. We'll see. Okay, and then NSL goodness, week two in the brand new NSL season. Again, I'm very excited that AFC Toronto gets to kick off a couple of two. They're playing. They've got back to back at BMO Field this weekend and next. But starting the week off, we have the Atleti and Calgary. On Saturday at 5 p.m.
Atleti's in a different league.
Oh, God, thank you. I just saw OTT in my brain.
Yeah, skittered. Rapid Ottawa.
Rapid Ottawa. And the Wild. And that one's on YouTube, ESPN, and TSN. And then later on that evening, the Roses hosting the Rise. That's kind of pleasing. TSN, ESPN, and of course RDS. And then on Sunday, 12 noon, high noon, take the kiddos, they'll be up. AFC Toronto hosting Halifax at BMO Field, and this one is on CBC Gem. So three good matches, interesting matchups. be curious to see, you know, Vancouver may have lost to Toronto, but they still had some good moments in that match. Montreal obviously starting their season off so well. Really, it's the Ottawa-Calgary one. They've both stumbled to start the season, so see which one sort of has figured some stuff out in training this past week. And then Toronto and Halifax, it's like who's got the goals. So yeah, I hope they get a good crowd on Sunday though at BMO, right? Like I hope there's a good turnout for that. I am sad I can't go, but I am indeed at work. But yeah, hopefully they see a fairly full lower bowl. That would be nice. And I'm presuming that the Roses are also at Stade Boreal along with a Supra, and they just do that at the same time. That's just my guess. Because they're playing. Yeah. Roses are playing on Saturday. Supra's playing on Sunday. So yeah, they're just going to have a footy weekend. Cause I don't think there hasn't really been, other than the practice situation, a mention that the Roses were going to play anywhere else. So this is a nice opening weekend for Stade Boreal. That'll be great. Both teams play. Lots of fans come out. Delightful. Delightful. Nice. All right. Well, on that slightly chaotic note to finish the show when my entire internet and whatever else just went sideways, that is our show for this week. So please join us next week when we see how badly Toronto lose on Saturday to the league leaders. You know, find out if Vancouver has been sold to, I don't know, a casino or something. Maybe they'll get lost in a poker game. And find out what's going on in KMPL, NSL, and anything else that interests us in the world of soccer. I've been joined, as always, by these two delightful gentlemen, to be found on the Twitters at Duncan D. Fletcher, Mr. Duncan Fletcher.
Yeah.
Hello. Woohoo.
Yes.
On the tweet machine at Kit Nerd Mark with a K, not a Q, Mr. Mark Hinckley.
Thank you to everybody who continues to listen to our podcast regularly. Those of you throw a tip in the tip jar at Patreon, again, appreciate it. Helps keep the lights on. And West Coast, come on. Really, honestly, embrace the KMPL. Come on.
Do it.
Two more teams. Let's do it. Not owned by Rob Friend.
Seriously.
Yeah, he's just going to ask money from you anyway.
And then claim it was a gift.
He'll pay you back. Wink.
As for me, you can find me on the internet. Yes, the entire internet at KZ Knowles. I have been your host, Krista Knowles. And until next week, Canada, get used to it.